after day, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. See among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, we're going to continue in praise and in worship. We're going to continue. What did He say there in one of those verses? We bring an offering into the temple courts. We're bringing an offering to God this morning as well. If you're a visitor, please feel free to allow the plate just to pass you by. Nobody will bother and fuss. This is an opportunity for folks in the church here to give towards the work of the Lord in this place and further afield. If you want to give, you're more than welcome to give as well. As we collect an offering, we're going to stand and sing together, "The Splendor of the King, Clothed in Majesty, Let All the Earth Rejoice." Picking up some of the themes from that psalm there together. Let's stand as we worship and as we collect our offering this morning. Lay aside all other cares and concerns, all other worries and thoughts for these moments, and help us to focus in on You and Your Word. Lord, may we not be looking the pastor, but Father God, may we be looking at Your word. May we be hearing not the pastor's stammering, stuttering words, but Father God, may we hear You. Would You speak to us through Your word? Would You encourage us? Would You challenge us? Would You change us today and for all of eternity? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Mary was attending Sunday school for the first time one Christmas season. Eagerly she listened to her teacher tell of the birth of God's Son. She thrilled to the story of the angels, the wise men, the star and the gifts. And then the teacher added, "And they shall call His name Jesus." Little Mary looked over at the person beside her and asked, "Why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word?" It was the first time that little child had heard His name used outside of a curse. And that is so true for many in our land, in our culture, in our city, even in our community today. You only have to walk along the street to hear someone misuse the name of the Lord, or to turn on your television set to hear His name being used with some regularity as a swear word. And the trouble is that we have grown so used to it ourselves that we simply accept it. And I fear, friends, I fear that for some we may even use it ourselves in the same context. And yet there are other ways we misuse or take in vain the name of the Lord, and we're going to think on a few of these this morning. Today, as we continue in our series 10C, Living God's Way, we come to the third commandment and think on respect. And that third commandment is found in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 20. And this is what is written there: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." This morning, as we think of that third commandment under the banner of respect, I want us to start with a positive. Always good to start with a positive note, isn't it? The commandment begins, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." It's all about a name. It's all about respect for that name. So we begin this morning thinking on the value of God's name, and we bring out the positives. Names are important. They mean something and they have value. None of us likes it when people take our name and make fun of it. We used to recite that rhyme that I shared with the kids earlier. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. I write. Of course it mattered. It hurts us and has hurted us when people have made fun of us and our name. Derek Prime, ex-pastor of Charlotte Chapel, writes in his book Bible Answers of an American living among the Maasai in Tanzania. And this American bandied names about with great ease. He had to learn that the Maasai regarded this as very rude because in public and with strangers, they didn't use their personal names. They chose instead to use titles or designations. One day a Maasai man said to him, "Do not throw my name about. My name is important. My name is me. My name is for my friends." And if that is true for us as human beings, then how true is it for our Father in heaven? George MacDonald wrote that the name of the Lord God should be a precious jewel in the cabinet of our heart, to be taken out only at great times and with loving care. Names are important. In the Bible, names usually reveal something about the person, their background, their upbringing, their character. And the same is true of God's name. There is value to the name because it describes our God to us. There are a few different names in the Bible that are used of God, with the main two actually here in this third commandment. The first is translated as Lord for us, with the word being in capital letters. This is the Hebrew word Jehovah. In Hebrew it is only four letters, YHVH. No vowels there. Thank you. See, it's good to have a wife in the congregation sometimes. No, your mind suddenly just goes totally blank on you. I'm thinking consonants, verbs. No, consonants, vowels. No, vowels. It's a name, Jehovah, considered to be so holy that no Jew is ever permitted to speak it audibly. Jews gave and still give great reverence to this name, that even today they refrain from writing it or even pronouncing it. The name Jehovah, though, occurs roughly, round about, you can check this later if you really want to, around about 7,000 times in the Old Testament. In the Psalms alone, it is used 700 times. Jehovah describes God as the eternal, self-existing one. He is the one who was and is to come. As John wrote in Revelation 1 and 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end," says the Lord God, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jehovah is the name with which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush when he said those remarkable words, "I am who I am." This is a title that expresses the self-existing nature of God, but it also describes his unchanging character. Throughout the Old Testament, we discover that Jehovah, the name, is linked with a second word to form compound names for God. These names further describe God to us, his character, his nature, his attributes. A few years back, we looked at some of those in an evening sermon series, the names of God. Let me just remind you of a few. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. See how it's taken the name of God, the Lord, and added something that describes something of God's character and nature. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord that sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. What about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts? Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. And we could go on and on, but I'll not this morning. The value of God's name is shown by the various attributes of God that are revealed by his name in the Bible. The second name given to us here in Exodus 7 is God. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. This is the first name used in the Bible. Four words into scripture for us, and we get Elohim, God. It means the faithful one. It describes the one supreme, faithful, triune God. It fittingly describes God in the unity of his personality and power. It is used around 2,300 times referring to God in the Bible. By jingo, you're going to be doing some counting this afternoon, aren't you? 7,000, then in another 2,300. You're getting on for 10,000 words, and that's only two of the names used of God in the Scriptures. He is the strong and faithful one. He is the one who can be depended upon. The name is valuable, for it describes who God is. It describes God to us. Let's not forget the value of God's name. It reminds us who He is. And from that we will be drawn to ever worship, praise and honour Him, I hope. Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, in one of her books, uses the alphabet to describe God, who God is to her. Here's what she says: He is able, benevolent, compassionate, dependable, eternal, faithful, good, holy, immortal, just, kind, loving, merciful, near, omniscient, powerful, quick, right, sufficient, truthful, unique, victorious, wise, X, Y, Z, altered. Just to make sure we've got the X, Y in there at the end there to get her through. But that's who God is. We will never tire of finding words that describe God. And that's why, as we thought last week, thinking about the idols, we can never paint a picture of God. For in our human minds, we cannot understand and comprehend all that God is. And so the value of God's name, having gone from the positive, we move into another serious part of the commandment here for us. And we think on the violation of God's name. What is the commandment saying? It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Or it is translated in the Authorized Version, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." We're not simply talking about the misuse of a word consisting of four Hebrew consonants, but more of an abuse of all that that name means. To misuse His name is to tread carelessly upon God's covenant offer of salvation for us. It is to treat His holy character with contempt. The word vain literally means meaningless, unimportant, trivial. When we see God's name as a byword, when we use it as a byword, we are in violation of the third commandment. When we use it in a way that does not refer to Him in all of His glory, power, majesty and honour, we are violating a holy God. And in our world today, and even in our churches today, we are guilty of violating God's name. We violate God's name, firstly, when we use it as a curse. Now, I hope that's something we in the church family would never do, but sometimes I do wonder. All around us every day we hear the words, "Oh my God." It's even taken on little acronyms now. Everywhere you go around you get OMG. As if it's cool and hip and trendy. We hear the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and yet not once has that been used in its proper context and manner. There's one girl in particular who was friendly with Rebecca, always came around the house. She had an awful habit of saying, "Oh my God." How many times, time after time after time, we had to try and say to her nicely, gently, kindly, but firmly, "That's not on. It's offensive. It's offensive to me. It's offensive to God." I've even heard Christians use the terms, "O Lord," or "O God," and it just slips out. And it slips out in such a way that you think to yourself, they're Christians. They must be using it in the right way. They must be wanting to praise and to honour Him. Rubbish. It slips off the tongue in the same degrading way as it does for non-believers sometimes. We think it does no harm, but it does. Names have value. That's what we thought of. That's where we started, the positive. We are saying here, though, that God's name has no value but to be used as a throwaway word. When you hear someone in your company use the Lord's name in that way, what do? Do you simply ignore it, pretending it never happened? I think it's time we stood up and said something to remind people of the value of the name of the Lord. God is quite clear here in the third commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." No doubt, just clarity. We hear it on televisions, we hear it in films, and we become so used to it we simply let the program carry on and we keep watching it. I'm as guilty as the next man, but I squirm. Every time I hear the Lord's name being taken in vain, I squirm. It's the squirming that should lead us to action. We've got to control our fingertips. It's not like televisions of years ago where you had to get up out of your seat and go and do something. That might have been better because it might have forced us to do it. But you know what? We've got this little control that sits right on the chair, right in the little recliner, and the best seat in the house, right in front of the television set, and it sits there. And what do? With our finger hovering over it, do we change the channel? Do we turn the television off? We just simply carry on regardless, as if it's part of everyday life. We have control over our fingertips. We have control over what we watch. And you know, it's not just about a control we can press and turn off. We've got rights. We've got rights to write into the television watchdog, to write to the television channels to say, do you know what? This program is so full of rubbish. It's so full of using the Lord's name in vain that I take offence. Offence. Are Christians allowed to be offended in this country? I sometimes wonder. I better watch I don't get into politics here. A few years ago, Salman Rushdie in his book, what happened? Big outcry. What about the cartoons depicting Allah that upset all the Muslims? And yet there's no such outcry in our land when God's name, the name of the one and only, is used in a wrong and immoral and bad way. And before we get too high and mighty with ourselves thinking, hey, do you know what? I'm good. I don't use the Lord's name as a curse. I'm okay on that one. What about the phrases we do use, friends? What about the phrases we do use? And if you want to know how hard this hits, sitting in the study this week, thinking this through, phrases that are used, I have been challenged myself. A wise preacher once told me that I had to make sure the one thing I did before standing up in the pulpit on a Sunday was to make sure that I preached the sermon to myself first. And that is hard. And it was hard in the study this week. What about the words we do use, the phrases we use? Damn it, darn it, doggone, what the hell, whatever it happens to be. I'm sorry if these words and phrases offend you this morning. They're meant to offend, to provoke a reaction in each of us. Are the phrases we use any different than the phrases the world uses? When people of the world curse, they use the name of God in there when they say damn it. Just by taking the name God out, does that make us any different? I don't know. I do wonder. I leave you to think about that one and contend with that for yourself this morning. Are we guilty of violating God's name? Not because we use it necessarily as a curse, but because we take it out but still use the curse in the same manner. Let's examine our hearts. Let's hear what we say. Let's think what words come out of our mouths. May they be, as the children's taught this morning, may they be clean words. We violate God's name when we use it as a curse, but I wonder sometimes in the church if the way we violate God's name is more by the fact that we use it casually. It's used casually. What do I mean? Well, let's think of our worship. We're not so bad in this church, I hope, I think, but I'll let you be the judge of that for your own lives. In our search for happiness, we become careless in our worship. We come out of a service thinking, oh, that was good. I'm happier now with all of that praise. Weren't these songs wonderful? Wasn't the praise just so exuberant? Am I so happy because I was able to sing my heart out this morning? Worship isn't about us feeling happy and pleased, although that may well be a byproduct of true worship. True worship is about God, about Him alone. It's about exalting Him. It's about lifting His name and doing that despite our circumstances and situations. The writer in Ecclesiastes writes in chapter 5, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Words be few. So when's a pastor ever had a few words, eh? What does that mean? I think this is speaking of our attitude in worship. We sing great hymns and songs which extol God and speak of His character and worth, but all the time that we sing, our minds are 1,000 miles away from what we're singing. We sing of Calvary and the sacrifice made by our Saviour there, but our minds are somewhere else other than on the cross of Jesus Christ. We sing of deep and serious commitment, pledging our life, our soul, our all to the service of Christ our King, But we've no intention of leaving the building any different to the way we came in here this morning. We sing as we did the other week, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." But the reality is we don't surrender everything to Him. We give Him a little pocket of our lives and we keep the rest to ourselves. We don't want to give up the pleasures of the flesh and to live for God alone. We pay lip service to God. Casually, we sing the words, but we do not mean them. Friends, it's time we got serious before God. If you come to church and you sing the song words and you don't mean what you're about to sing, or if your mind is on something else, then I want to challenge you to be honest and open before God. I want to challenge you to keep your mouth shut and not to sing. I want to encourage you to sing the songs because you're thinking about the words and you're singing them from the bottom of your heart in praise and worship to God. And when we sing songs of commitment, I want us only to sing those songs if we mean what they say. That if He demands my life, my soul, my all, that's what we're giving Him. We violate God's name when we casually use it in church, when it just trips off our tongue and when we're not thinking about it. We violate God's name when we use it as a curse. And all of this leads us to the vindication of God's name. The second half of verse 7 speaks of God's name being vindicated and of God dealing with those who violate His name. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." There is punishment for the guilty. In the second commandment we saw punishment and promise. Here only punishment is mentioned, although I do believe we can see the benefit of keeping the command as well as the penalty. God says He will not hold anyone guiltless. That means He will not consider anyone pure and blameless who misuses His name. He will not hold them clean and pure and free and innocent. If anyone misuses His name, He will judge them and hold them to account. God will deal with those who willfully violate the sacredness of His holy name. In this world today, if you misuse the name of another person or violate that name in any way, what will they do? They will sue you. Major corporations like Coca-Cola and IBM hire hundreds of lawyers, attorneys, to ensure their corporate name is not misused. Frank Sinatra, the man's been dead for almost, he has been dead for 10 years now, but still, his name is worth a cool $500,000. If you misuse deliberately the name of Old Blue Eyes, by jingo, you'll pay a penalty for it. God has stated in His word that He will punish those who violate His name. And if we need a reminder of that, go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. King David had ordered the ark of God be transported from the house of Abinadab into the city of Jerusalem. David's men put the ark of God, and here's what it says about the ark of God in scripture. It says, "which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty." So they put the ark of God on a cart, which was their first mistake. God had ordered the Levites that they should carry the ark by inserting long poles through the rings on the sides. Perhaps they were in a hurry. Perhaps they didn't think it mattered. Perhaps they didn't understand the seriousness of God's name and the Ark of the Covenant. Two sons of Abinadab, Ahio and Uzzah, walked beside the cart to guide it and to protect it that day. As they approached the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled. That's what 2 Samuel 6 tells us. The oxen stumbled, the ark began to sway on the cart, and Uzzah immediately reached out to steady the ark. That was the last act of Uzzah's life. When he touched the ark, God struck him dead. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 7, "The Lord's anger burnt against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God." Very possibly, that seems like an overreaction to you and to me. After all, Uzzah was only trying to do his job. But God was sending a message that day in Scripture that no one will ever mess with my name. And He says the same here in the third commandment for us. He will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Can you imagine, friends, standing before God on the day of judgment and he charges you with misusing his name? I wouldn't want to be standing there knowing that he has struck down a man called Uzzah for just touching the name of the Lord, for just touching the ark. A holy and a righteous God is one to be feared and honoured. Punishment for the guilty. Naturally, I think there is a positive way, just to finish on a good note for us, to vindicate God's name. And here we think on the path for the believer, the path for you and for I this morning. God's plan for his people is that we guard our tongues, and that when we use his name, we do so with reverence and respect. James 5:12 reminds us, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Matthew 12, it says there, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Strong words. But the path for the believer is to recognize the value of God's name, and to use that name with respect and with reverence, to come before a holy God properly. The encouragement is to watch our words and to use them wisely. And if you want a couple of examples of that, after the Welsh revival of 1904, foul-mouthed miners who had been saved during the revival went right back down the mines. And do you know what task they were faced with that took them an awful long time? They had to retrain their mules. Retrain the donkeys and the animals that he used. Why? It seems the animals were unable to understand the commands of the miners, for there was no more profanity being used. Or the story of the farmer who arrived home later than his wife expected him to. And so she asked him what had taken him so long. His reply was, well, I picked up the pastor down the road, and after that moment, the horses couldn't understand a thing I said to them. Friends, let us respect the name of the Lord our God. Let's use it properly. There's value in God's name. It describes his character and his attributes. We violate his name when we use it as a curse or a swear word, or when we even use it casually within church. In the end, God's name will be vindicated, as it will be punishment for the guilty. May we follow the path of the true believer and honour God's name and show God respect. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would forgive us this morning, individually and collectively, for the times when we've misused your name. Father God, we recognize the value of that name, and we want to honor that today. So Father God, give us the courage to stand up when we hear your name being misused, and to challenge people about that. Help us in our own lives not to use phrases which we think are okay just because we've missed out your name, but still we carry the same meaning as the world carries. Help us not to use your name casually, even in church, as we sing but don't really mean what we sing. Father God, help us to use your name properly and fully. For Father God, we live in fear that one day you will vindicate that name on us as well, that there will be punishment for the guilty. Father God, we thank you for the path of a true believer. We thank you for Jesus, our Saviour, who died to save us from our sin. For Lord, we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't keep these commandments on our own. We would fail and fall at every turn. But Lord, give us the strength in these days to live out your commandments in our day and in our generation. Help us to live out our lives your way, that we might live for you in all that we do. May your word continue to settle on our hearts and our minds this morning. May we think it through again this afternoon and on into this week. And Lord, help us to apply that word to our lives this week, that we might live for you, that we might bring glory and honour to your name and nothing else. For this we pray and plead and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just